Welcome to School Talk. I'm Nadja Varney, your host. You know, there was a time when college meant becoming educated and becoming a well-rounded citizen, maybe some social growth, but not everybody expected to go to college. Well, times have surely changed. It seems to me that now a bachelor's degree is almost equivalent to what a high school diploma used to be. Today, higher education is under all kinds of demands and expectations, online courses, they have accountability, diversity, even global partnerships. The budgets are tight, so how are they going to do all this? Well, to help us get some insight, I'm so happy to welcome the 12th president of Bridgewater State University, President Frederick Clark. Welcome, President
Thank
Clark.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, I've been just reading about you. You've had quite a career in higher education and a strong emphasis on public service. Mm-hmm. I know that you and working with Congressman, late Congressman, John, is it John Joseph or
Correct.
Joseph John?
John Joseph.
John Joseph Moakley.
Yep.
And you helped get that huge grant to build the building we're sitting in. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty amazed, but you've been on all kinds of roles. You've played the role of chair of the board of trustees, mm-hmm. vice chair of the foundation, and then for the whole state of Massachusetts, Governor Deval Patrick named you as a chairperson. I think it was called the Massachusetts Board of Higher Ed.
That's correct.
And then you moved it into just calling it the Office of Higher Education.
Yeah, they changed the title. Yep.
And then you mm-hmm. also did some presented some research for the whole state of in higher education on violence. So. Mm-hmm. And also, we were just talking before we got on air, and you too, like the former president, have been very involved with the global partnerships. Mm-hmm. You've been to Belize, Brazil, Cape Verde, Morocco, and so forth. So I'm just delighted to have a chance to talk with you today. Sorry it took me so long to introduce you, but you've been connected to Bridgewater and public service for a long time.
Thank you, Nadja.
So I want to, before we start, I always ask my guests, what drew you into academia?
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you for your role in talking about education. It's so important to our region and to our country. So thank you for your leadership.
Oh, you're so welcome.
Along those lines. We're very proud to have a partnership with you here at Bridgewater. But what I love about education is that it is the gateway to opportunity in the United States of America and really around the world. Without an education, we don't have liberty. Without an education, we don't have opportunity for economic, social, cultural success. It's so important. If you believe in public service, you have to have a focus on education. It's a critical step.
So these kinds of concepts are what drew you
yes.
into academia.
And I'm also an example of it because I come from a family that didn't have a college experience. I'm first in family to go to college. I'm one of six kids. And if it wasn't for education, if it wasn't for higher education, I certainly wouldn't be an attorney. I would not be sitting here as a university president as well. That's the transformative power of education. And I'm passionate about it. It drives me.
Yes, and you're passing it on and paying it forward, as they say today. Well, with all the ever-growing expectations on higher ed that I referred to mm-hmm. earlier, how would you characterize the mission of a public institution like Bridgewater State right. University?
It really is to provide opportunities for people in this region. You know, it wasn't that long ago in the 1800s that getting a high school diploma was the next frontier. But now today, if you want a job in this economy, particularly in this part of the country, you have to have a college degree. And you particularly have to have a bachelor's degree. 70% of all the new jobs require a bachelor's degree, or at least a college experience of some sort. We are the provider of those experiences. We are the producer of those degrees in Massachusetts. And I think that is our role, to be the gateway of opportunity for those students to, on the other side, have degrees so that they can contribute economically and socially. It's a critical and important role.
Well, I certainly understand that. I've been talking to students who are trying to get into college, and I hear a lot about looking for scholarships to help them get in.
Mm-hmm.
And they speak about merit scholarships and need scholarships. Mm-hmm. Could you speak to those?
Yeah, I think we have a lot of work to do in the United States and in Massachusetts and in New England to provide more funding for students and to provide more supports. So I'm just going to talk about the public side of higher education
yes.
for a minute.
Yes.
When I was a student here at Bridgewater State, 80% of the cost of attendance at Bridgewater was borne by the state of Massachusetts.
80%?
80%, 20% by the students.
Wow.
That's been reversed. Today, our students pay 80% of the cost, and the state of Massachusetts provides 20% of the support. So our students increasingly need more and more help. Now, today at Bridgewater, it's about $9,300 to come here. You might think that that's still affordable, but our students really struggle with that kind of an annual debt if they're commuter students. The state, the federal government needs to prioritize higher education because it's indispensable to our future as a country.
And are they still offering the need scholarship? I mean, you said you were one of the first, leaving your family as the first one to go to college, and many students still need the need scholarships. Are those still available?
They're still available. The federal government just increased the amount through Pell Grants to about $5,500 to $6,000 if you're the neediest students. But the state of Massachusetts has not kept pace. Today, I think the average scholarship, it's really a need-based scholarship. It's called Mass Grant. It's about $800 per year.
That's not quite
But what it buys is about 8% of what it used to buy about 20 or 30 years ago. We need to make those critical investments. It's really an infrastructure investment. Without a highly educated workforce, we can't have a vibrant economy. It's indispensable.
Well, I was going to talk more about why the tuitions are rising, but I can see what you're saying is so obvious now. The state has not kept up with the increasing demands. In fact, when you said it's reversed, no wonder the students are carrying all this debt. What can the university do to help reduce the cost for these students?
Yeah, I think we have to be very, very efficient with the dollars that we have. Today, we just announced that we entered into a solar energy pact that'll cut our electric bill by 20% at Bridgewater State. I'm going to reduce our budget by 2.5%. We have to be very lean and mean with the dollars that we have. If we're not affordable, we're not accessible. And if we're not accessible as public higher ed institutions, we should close our doors.
Wow.
Affordability is the gateway to accessibility for our institutions, and our students need us to keep those doors open. So not only stretch the dollars, try to raise private funds, and that's new for us as well, so that our alums give back to help our current students to get through, and then to do as much as we can with grants and sponsored, you know, kind of projects, philanthropy, kind of through the corporate side, and then to be advocates for public financing of public higher education as well.
Well, I'm so glad you emphasized public, because I've forgotten whether it was someone by the name of Dr. Kerr, but it was a long time ago. He wrote an article and warning us about the market taking over public education. And you know what's happening with charter schools and with rich people who can just decide what to do with education, when people like you and I'm a retired teacher, we know what goes on in the trenches and what we need. So I was glad to hear you say that, because it's such a push to do away with America's unique vision of education. If you're a child or a student here, you get to go to school free. And I'm hoping that we can continue that vision. It's being very much attacked, I think. And you know what's also changing, talking about changing the budget, the amounts that they give, is the diversity of our country. And I know I hear elementary school teachers talk about, we don't have enough teachers of color and different ethnicities because our children don't have models. So with all this continued emphasis on diversity, how are we doing?
Yeah, I think we're doing better. When I was a student here, 6% of our student population was students of color. Today, our incoming freshman class is 29% students of color, which is a little bit bigger, a little bit larger than the percentage of students or the percentage of folks of color in this state and in this region. But the answer to our economic future is in gateway cities. The answer to our economic future is with students of color, particularly from gateway cities. And we have a huge number of retirees. We have less people in K-12. And if we can have our students of color, particularly from gateway cities, finish school at the same rates as white students from suburban areas, go to college at the same rates, and finish college at the same rates, we won't have a talent shortage, which is already here. We'll have a talent surplus. We have to invest in all of our students, and they have to succeed equally. It's critically important for our state and for our country.
I just wondered, you mentioned gate. I know what it is, but I wonder if our audience know what gateway cities
they
are.
They tend to be urban areas. They tend to be cities. Sometimes they're larger than just cities. It might be Barnstable County actually is a gateway community as well. Those in southeastern Massachusetts, it's Brockton and Taunton and Attleboro and New Bedford, Fall River, just as examples. Those are all gateway communities. And we're very invested in those. We're also in regular suburban communities as well. But I think we have a special mission in those gateway communities because the challenges might be slightly more intense.
And you talk about how you want them to, you know, people of color, diverse backgrounds mm-hmm. and ethnicities, you want them to move at the same pace, the way you were speaking, as someone from an upper class other community.
Right.
But there's such a big gap.
There's a big gap.
When they come into college, what do they, I don't know, do they have remedial anymore here?
I think that those students can succeed at the same rates. It's not those kids, it's not those students, it's really us. We need to provide the supports to get them
asking.
Through.
Do we have those supports?
Yeah, we do. You know, and at Bridgewater State, although we're becoming even more diverse, we've been able to have our retention rates increase for all students across the board.
That's good.
The difference is providing the supports that those students need, especially if they're first in their family as well. And also connecting early on with them, whether within the fifth grade or in the seventh grade or in the ninth grade, to show them that there is a place for them in higher education, that they can afford it, and that their families shouldn't exclude them out or select them out. Mm-hmm. They can afford to go to college, and that is critically important for them, you know, to participate in our economy as well. We do all of that at Bridgewater State.
Well, I know when I was interviewing the president of Rhode Island College, she mentioned that a great deal of that remediation is done at the
community colleges.
And that gives, you know, gets them ready for coming into a regular university. Yeah. But again, it goes back to what you just mentioned, that they should believe that they can do this.
Yeah.
I read an article that said something about students who come from low-income homes and so forth, mm-hmm. that they should not be afraid to shoot for the moon, wherever college you want to go to, because you just never know. Usually, people who are poor don't think they should even apply there.
Exactly
even if
right.
they're talent. You talk about talent.
Yep.
I have a granddaughter who's just an amazing artist, but because her dad lost his business and all, she doesn't think she can apply, you know, to go to some famous art school. And I'm saying apply.
That's right. You have to set high expectations. We had 100 students here from Brockton and New Bedford last Friday night with all their parents. And we had one message for them. Believe in yourself. Believe that you can belong in a place like Bridgewater or any other higher ed institution. You can do it, and we're here to help you. And there's many people in your family and in your school systems that want you to succeed. Don't select yourself out.
On that note, we're going to have to take a break. But when we come back, there are lots of other problems. And when we talk about diversity, many of these students can't speak much English. So we'll go there when we come back.
Okay.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
They said I couldn't dream. Called me a piece of trash and swore that's all I'd ever be. Said a bottle couldn't see the ocean. Give up. Go back to the dumpster. But I didn't listen. I made my way. And now, what I've always wanted to be.
So let's join hands, book people unite on earth. Read to a child today and spark a lifetime of ambition.
President Clark, we talked about diversity, and in that context, we have students and people coming from all over the world. So you must have people coming into an institution like Bridgewater State University mm-hmm. who have difficulty with English. Some may have no English. What do you do about that?
Well, first of all, I think we do have an English as a second language program, but we need to build it to a much higher level, and we're working on that actually even as we speak right now. But as the state's largest single producer of teachers, we want to be involved with K-12 to make sure that our K-12 educators have as many tools in the toolbox themselves to work with students that are in front of them that have various language needs as well. And there's so many of them in this region. There's such a deep need. I think the state of Massachusetts itself has that as a priority, and we're working with them as well. And it's great to see that diversity. It really is great to see that diversity on this campus and in this region and in this country as well. It's mm-hmm. exciting.
I love that welcoming spirit that you do have. To me, it's really American. I'm such a patriot here. But, you know, people are talking so much about privatizing everything. And so what you're saying just rings a wonderful bell to me. Mm-hmm. Not so many years ago, the former president, Dana Mollifaria, and Gene McCormick, who was the chancellor at UMass Dartmouth, and John Spraga, the former president of Bristol Community
retiring
College.
Retiring president. Yep.
Yeah, retiring now. And we talked about the differences, but right now the community college is really growing.
Yep.
And you have a program here to help students transist from community college into the university. Could you tell me about that?
Yep. And it's not unique to Bridgewater State University, but half of our students, one half of all of our students transfer from other institutions, the vast majority of which transfer from community colleges. Going to a community college and then on to a four-year public institution actually is the most affordable pathway to a bachelor's degree. Governor Baker has done some work in this regard to incentivize that kind of pathway. So I've already talked to all three community college presidents in this region. I'm working on MOUs with all of them, but particularly with Bristol and Massasoit, which is our largest, to make those transitions easier for students, to make them feel comfortable here.
I don't mean to interrupt, but you're working on MOUs that you
Memorandums of Understanding.
I know what that
we
is,
want to try to bring those students here before they get associate's degrees so that they feel already a part of the Bridgewater community.
Well, when you said MOUs, Memorandum of Understanding, that's sort of a very esoteric term, but it kind of means you're connecting.
That's right.
It's not a rule or a solid commitment. Is that correct?
Well, we're formalizing our relationship, and we're going beyond what we currently do to make, we want more community college students to go on to get their bachelor's degree. We'd love it if they came to Bridgewater State. And I think it's a best practice if you can find ways to make sure that those community colleges know that there's a next step. And they really need that bachelor's degree as well. So we have to be connected. Mm-hmm. We have to be partners.
Well, John Spraga, President Spraga, was sitting here, and he said something like, when you get a Pell Grant for some $5,000 or something, he said, even people who have money want to send their students to some highly costly school, that's a great way to start off, is to, you know, that's a cheap way. It was a very inexpensive way to get a good education and a
that's
good
right.
start.
Yeah, so, he's right.
Well, there's an enormous emphasis, not only in community colleges, but everywhere on STEM, the whole idea of technology, science, technology, engineering, and math.
Yep.
And I'm wondering, what's happening with technology at higher ed level, this level?
First of all, I think the state of Massachusetts has had a major focus on that, both in terms of programs and capital investments as well. Oh. We have a $100 million building on this campus. It really is the STEM center of southeastern Massachusetts. Today, we have 250 teachers on our campus that are learning AP skills to bring back to their classrooms, almost all on this in STEM fields as well. We had 20,000 students on this campus last year, K to 12. Most of them did some kind of STEM activity to spark an interest in the sciences, technology, engineering, and mathematics. We have to do much more of that across the board.
But I'm so happy to hear you, as I hear your responses. A number of times you've tied what's happening here with what happens in the lower grades.
Yeah.
And the teachers. Bridgewater was used to be a school just for teachers.
That's
many
right.
years ago.
Yeah.
So I'm just delighted to hear that. They're not separate. It's beginning to sound like pre-K through 16 or however
right.
they referred to it some years ago.
Right. We have
so
to be
it's
connected.
Happening.
Yes.
Yeah,
we
that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, at the root of the solutions for all of this is with your faculty,
yep.
with the teachers, the educators, those that do teaching and research. And in light of all the different requirements and expectations on them, are they remunerated? Are the salaries adequate?
Yeah, I think we always can do better, frankly. And, you know, and it's a statement of priorities for our entire society. We need to put teachers and professors on a pedestal. You know, they're educating the future of our country. They are the sentinel, so to speak, for the future of our country. And I don't think we do enough to lift up our teachers and our professors overall. In my various jobs and capacities, I've always tried to make sure that our folks were fairly compensated. And I've done what I can do on this campus within a collective bargaining environment as well. We also believe in full-time folks, because you know, when you have too much emphasis on part-timers, it's very difficult for them. It's very disruptive to their family. So we're making major investments on this campus, even in the next year, to hire more full-time faculty.
I know I ran into, I was myself, you know, a visiting professor in a few schools, but one gal said to me as she was leaving, she said, "We are the migrants."
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Travel to where the work is. She was going yeah. to another school
yeah.
where she was teaching a course. And I wonder now, you've talked about a number of subjects and you've had so much experience at every level. And I'm wondering if you have any frustrations or disappointments in mm-hmm. what's happening in higher education.
I think it's just the prioritization of the importance of higher education. And we're not talking enough about that in this state, in this region, and in this country. It's so important on the national scene. It's so important in a globally competitive economy. If we don't out-educate our folks, we can't out-compete the rest of the world. We have to have education as one of our highest priorities, education and health, I think. So I wish I heard a little bit more dialogue at the national level, a little bit more urgency maybe at the state level as well. That's a little bit of a frustration for me. But overall, you know, I'm so pleased to be in this role. I'm so proud, having been a Bridgewater graduate, to lead this great institution.
I was going to ask you what you feel is the greatest accomplishment or a reason that you have for optimism.
Yeah.
You sound like an optimistic person.
I am. Every time one of our students crosses the stage, I feel a sense of pride. And if we don't have a student cross that stage, I feel a personal sense of failure. And if they go on to get a great job and make the most of themselves and contribute, I don't know how I could have a better sense of accomplishment. We just love to see our students succeed.
I hear you saying then it's really a student-centered view
yeah.
or mission
yeah.
rather than trying to change other things in the world. You feel that if you change the individuals, is that what you're saying?
Yeah,
Educate the individuals and then send them out.
That's our mission. That's who we are. That's why we're here. I've met with every single person who works on this campus, and everybody works their heart out for the only reason that they should, Nadja, and that is to help our students to succeed. That's why we're here.
I liked what you mentioned, though, in these last few sentences about the lack of respect for the profession.
Yeah.
People will, when I would say to somebody, "Oh, I taught first grade." "Oh, that's nice if you're at a party." Then I said, "Well, I've started a remedial reading program." "Oh, that's interesting."
Yeah.
They're more interested.
Yeah.
And then if I would say, "I'm a head teacher." "Oh, you're in administration?"
Yeah.
And then when I'd say something like, "Well, I have a business on the side. Mary Kay Cosmetics had to make extra money." "Oh, you do business. Now they
yeah.
want to talk." And when I say I do television, everybody wants to talk.
Yeah.
Do you see how upside down that is?
Oh, yeah.
That is incredibly wrong.
I give you one other example. We put sports figures on a pedestal. But if you think about, and that's fine in some regards, but if you think about your own personal journey and who made the most difference for you, you're probably going to find that it's a family connection and that somewhere along the way it was a teacher that redirected you. It's certainly the case with me.
Was it?
A teacher that made the difference in terms of your life and your career. Without a doubt, we need to put them higher on pedestals, not to diminish sports figures or business figures, but let's make sure that the people who make the most impact in our country get the same level of respect.
Couldn't have said it better myself. I remember as a young person, as a child, we all wanted to be nurses, doctors, or something. And now everyone wants to be a celebrity.
Yeah.
I mean, they practice on Facebook or something in their hands.
Yeah.
But anyway, I appreciate what you've said and your sense of optimism. And with this, I need to say thank you very much. And
thank
I hope
imagine.
That you will come back because you're connected to the around the world. That would be a very interesting talk.
I'd be honored to come back. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And in closing, I'm going to read something from the Bridgewater State University press release that I read earlier this year. I'm going to quote it. Since the time of its founding in 1840, Bridgewater State has remained steadfast in its commitment to empower individuals and instill in its students and the faculty a deep appreciation for advancing the public good. I call that great American school talk.